Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
You're listening to Catholic Baltimore, and this is Sean Kane. I'm here with Dr. Laurie Prisbus. She's the coordinator of marriage and family life for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Dr. Prisbus, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Sean. I'm so happy to be able to share with you.
Good. Describe your role as a coordinator of marriage and family life with the Archdiocese.
Well, I work in the Department of Evangelization, helping parishes to reach out to families at all their life stages and in all the situations they find themselves in.
And what would you, obviously this is an important time in the history of the not only the Archdiocese, but in society in general with all the changes and challenges to marriages and families. So what are your observations about the state of where things are right now?
Well, when I go to parishes and I meet families, I meet some very wonderful and energetic and dedicated people. They give me a lot of hope for the future. At the same time, there is really a decline in people getting married, probably 60% fewer than when I got married 40 years ago. And this is a real concern because people are still, you know, living together and having children, but the families they're forming are fragile, and it's especially serious for the future of the children. Yeah. So,
what do you think some of the contributing factors are for people who are deciding to delay or forego altogether marriage?
Well, I think that people are afraid of commitment. They don't see too many good role models for healthy and successful marriages, and they really are really afraid of making that commitment. So I think that the fear of the future, fear of what they're going to be able to bring to a committed relationship, I think that that keeps them from having some long-range plan to form a family.
I know one of the goals of the Archdiocese in many of our parishes is to affirm, you know, married couples and healthy marriages and lift them up, you know, so that those role models are visible to other people in the church and the community. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Well, I think that more than any speech or document or pronouncement, it's going to be the witness of married people who are day-to-day trying to live their vocation. And just in the ways that they serve within the parish, not just in marriage-related topics, but just as they're visible on the parish council or in serving within baptism preparation or as catechists, that they give a sign just by their witness of their lives. Plus, if they're serving, you know, directly in marriage preparation, oh, the best thing that a parish can do would be to raise up sponsor couples that would work, that would walk along with an engaged couple as they prepare for marriage, that sponsor couple can have a big impact on that engaged couple. That may be the only married couple that couple knows, you know, that depending on where they're coming from.
I imagine in your travels and visiting parishes and speaking with pastors and pastoral life directors that there's got to be some frustration and even confusion about how they can support families today and how they can, you know, support people who are interested in sharing a life together, whether that's by getting married or not. Okay, what are you hearing when you go out to the parishes?
Well, in the parishes, people are very aware that of all the people with challenges that need support and that may not be involved in marriage. And so we sometimes in parishes they say, well, we don't want to leave out the people that are, you know, really taking care of their children and their parents, that are families not formed by marriage. And so talking about marriage sometimes seems to leave all those people out. But I think that I try to help parish staff members understand that when we talk about families, we're really inclusive because everybody belongs to a family. And everyone, whether they're married or not, or if they've been married and marriage has been a trouble for them, that for the future, that we need to have a hope for forming people for the future. So I try to help parish leaders see that it's not excluding others if they also try to lift up marriage.
Are you seeing any of how these challenges are transcending cultural lines? Is this something that is across the board? Is it less prevalent in, say, the Hispanic community? Is it, you know, have any observations about that?
Well, I think that the decline in marriage is across the board, really. And it has different reasons for different cultural communities. In the Hispanic community, there are many people who can't approach marriage because of immigration issues or that they too are experiencing a lot of families that are formed without marriage. One of the wonderful things that's happening in the diocese is in our Hispanic parishes, the leaders are helping couples to move toward marriage, guiding them and supporting them. Recently, in one of our parishes, they had a group wedding that the parish hosted the reception for, and 9 couples were married at that time. So I think that those kind of things to help couples to overcome any economic obstacles to marriage, whatever we could do in that way.
And of course, the Archdiocese hosts a fairly large mass every year for celebrating marriage. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Right. Every year we have a marriage anniversary mass. Last year it was the end of September, and coming up September, first Sunday in September will be the marriage mass. And we see couples from all ages of life, from the first year anniversary all through. People with 70 years of marriage come out to the celebration. And it's very inspiring to get a group like that together, because it's really a witness that this vocation is possible.
Now, this issue of how the church supports families is something the Holy Father is kind of tackling head on, and it will undoubtedly be a major focus of not only the synod in the fall, but also the World Meeting of Families, which takes place in Philadelphia this September. Can you touch a little bit about the World Meeting of Families, what its focus is, and how people in the Archdiocese of Baltimore can participate?
Well, the church celebrates World Meeting of Families every 3 years. Pope John Paul started it, and it was in Milan last time. This time it'll be in Philadelphia, and it's an opportunity for us, for families, to listen to each other and to hear more about how they can help other families. It has this meeting in Philadelphia, September 22nd through 27th, has 3 moments in it. It has a conference, a 4-day conference that is for people of all ages, and there's even childcare provided for it. And then Saturday, the 26th, will be a giant street fair, a family festival, which will be outdoors on the Parkway in Philadelphia, Benjamin Franklin Parkway. And then Sunday, the 27th, Holy Father will be with us to celebrate a Mass in the morning. So he's just coming on the Sunday for the Mass.
And the Mass, as I understand it, is open to the public? And there's
There'll be no tickets.
No tickets.
It's going to be, if you saw any pictures of Manila, where he had that huge Mass, it's going to be more like World Youth Day. Or think about the crowd that we saw at the March for Life.
And the Archdiocese will be working through its parishes to help facilitate and encourage people to attend?
Right. We have a website on the Archdiocesan website, archbolt.org, that gives all the details about the events. If people want to register for the conference, they do that directly through the conference. And there are all these web addresses and registration information are on our website. And if parishes want to take a bus of people to go to the Mass, we hope that they'll let us know about their bus so that we can maybe coordinate a little bit and help people find a ride if they want to go along with a parish.
Great. So to sum up, the world meeting will precede Synod of Bishops, which will be meeting in October, I believe, mm-hmm. To discuss the challenges to the family. There's a preparatory process that will be taking place in the Archdiocese in the coming weeks. People can speak with their pastor about that. And as you said, for more information about the world meeting, people can visit www.archbolt.org. Dr. Prisbus, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks so much.
For over 200 years, the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Catholic schools have welcomed families of all faiths, providing generations of students with an academically excellent, value-based education taught in a Christ-centered environment. With a 99% graduation rate, the highest in the nation, and a 98% college attendance rate, Catholic school graduates are better prepared to succeed in college and beyond. But Catholic schools offer more than an education. They offer tradition, family, faith, and the opportunity for students to grow as individuals and as future leaders in their community. Discover these and other benefits of a Catholic school and learn more about why Catholic schools are an unparalleled value in education in the Baltimore region. Call 1-800-5-CATHOLIC or visit www.archbolt.org. Catholic schools, a place to grow.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore is pleased to announce the launch of the 2015 Archbishop's Annual Appeal. The theme for this year's appeal, taken from the Gospel of Matthew, is Go Make Disciples, and it is a call for each of us to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to all people everywhere. The Archbishop's Annual Appeal provides our 145 diverse parish communities with the tools that help them celebrate the sacraments, teach the faith, and build a vibrant culture of life centered on the Eucharist. Funds from the appeal are also used to evangelize future generations, strengthen families, and to lend a hand to the underserved members of our community. On behalf of Archbishop William E. Laurie, thank you for your prayerful consideration to support this year's Archbishop's Annual Appeal. For more information or to make a gift, please visit www.archbolt.org/appeal.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
You're listening to Catholic Baltimore. This is Sean Kane, and we are joined today by Ruth Pulse and Julie St. Croix from the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Welcome.
Thanks.
So we're here to talk about the Mid-Atlantic Congress. Can you tell us a little bit about what MAC is and when it's happening and what the goals are of MAC?
The Mid-Atlantic Congress is happening February 12th through 14th, and it's a partnership between the Archdiocese of Baltimore and the Association of Catholic Publishers, which allows us to bring the best speakers in the publishing world to Baltimore for 3 days. And the goals are simple. It's to increase awareness of evangelization in the Archdiocese of Baltimore and to form pastoral leaders.
And who are the who's the primary audience? In other words, who should attend MAC?
On the first couple of days of MAC, we have the priests, deacons, pastoral staff people from across the Archdiocese. And then on Saturday, we open it up, and anyone who's a volunteer, they might be a catechist, they may be somebody who works on the liturgy committee or finance committee, they come to hear the same speakers and types of presentations on their day off and really make a good investment in their church.
So what's this year's program look like?
Oh, it's really exciting. We're pleased to have Bishop Malone as our keynote on Thursday, kicking off at 1 o'clock. And he brings such a wonderful presence and understanding of catechesis as a bishop. So he'll be a great start to it. Thursday evening, we have Brian Johnson, who's coming to us from Galveston, Houston, and has a real strong youth ministry background and just a very dynamic speaker. For Saturday, for our volunteers, we have Sherry Waddell, who is very well known for her book, Forming Intentional Disciples, and actually has a follow-up book that we're hoping she's going to share a little bit about. So it's very exciting. There's a concert on Friday evening with Father James Martin, Brother Mickey McGrath, and John Angotti, and they are doing a wonderful concert mixture with reflection and just beautiful images from Brother Mickey McGrath. So it's just going to be a very, very exciting Congress.
So as I understand it, the program, there are a number of tracks that people can take or a number of different speakers. Since the Mid-Atlantic Congress has been coming to Baltimore, have you seen a change or a trend in the kinds of issues and speakers that people seem to be gravitating towards in terms of parish leadership and, you know, lay ecclesial ministers?
Sure, because initially when we started the MAC, we said this would be where the youth ministry track, or this would be the track for religious educators. And the more and more we're seeing pastoral staffs change throughout the Archdiocese and other dioceses, the more we're saying we need to reflect that in the Mid-Atlantic Congress. So people more and more are cross-training. Somebody who's in youth ministry is taking a business course to learn track at the MAC to learn how to prepare a budget, or somebody who's in religious ed now finds herself the director of religious education and youth ministry at the parish. So they're going to hear about trends in youth ministry and how to run an effective youth ministry program. So cross-training has really influenced the MAC.
And have you seen that even with priests, that they're, you know, taking maybe tracks or courses that they wouldn't have thought they would need, 15 years ago?
We talked to one priest who said that the MAC is a way to teach him things that I never learned in seminary, and that when he was plunged into parish life, there was a lot that he hadn't experienced. He was in different parishes as a seminarian, but when he arrived at a parish, he never knew how to talk to young people, or he never knew how to put together a budget. And he goes to those MAC courses just for that. So, yeah, it's true for priests as well.
And I imagine that there are people who come from all over the region to MAC. Do you kind of keep track of that, or they're, you know, do you know where they're, hailing from?
Over 1,000 people, 59 dioceses,
really?
Everywhere from Canada through mostly the East Coast, and then a few people thrown in from other dioceses.
Now, the involvement of the laity isn't the only change the church is seeing. Obviously, increasing diversity, especially among Spanish-speaking peoples. Can you describe how that is kind of reflected in, you know, the way MAC is organized and, you know, the way what's offered in terms of the courses?
Well, we try to make sure that the offerings are very multicultural, and not just for the Hispanic community, but also for the African-American community, the Filipino community. There's different offerings for them. But with particular focus on Saturday, we're making sure that we have, because we find that the majority of the Hispanic volunteers and often the Hispanic even staff who serve those populations can only come on the Saturday. So we're making sure that there we're offering a lot of workshops and breakouts in Spanish. We're making sure that we have all of our keynotes are being translated into Spanish with headsets so that they can participate in that. And I just think it's just a wonderful reflection of our growing diversity in our church, and it's going to be seen in the speakers and in the participants at MAC.
You mentioned earlier that one of the sponsors of the Mid-Atlantic Congress is the Association of Catholic Publishers. What's their role and in MAC, and obviously they have a say in the speakers probably and help with that. Is there another aspect to their involvement?
No, the Association of Catholic Publishers is made up of different publishing houses in the Catholic community. And so what they're able to do when they partner with MAC is to bring us the best of the best. Who's the hottest? You know, we mentioned earlier Sherry Waddell is coming out. She is the hottest Catholic publishing person now on the bestsellers list and tapped in to speak nationally and internationally. So they bring us the best of the best, and our people get trained by people. Sometimes we have Catholic publisher personnel who give workshops at the MAC, and yet they're national speakers. We're just really blessed to have them. And then some music people as well. So Marty Hagen and David Haas and all the kind of contemporary Catholic authors of music are going to be there.
We touched on it a little bit. We talked about ministry and other cultures. The average person may think all ministry is created equal, and I suspect that that's not the case. And would you talk a little bit about kind of the challenges, you know, trying to be all things to all people, and maybe some of the nuances or differences in, you know, how we minister, not only culturally, but urban ministry, I would imagine, is different from ministering in a suburban parish or a rural parish.
Right. So James Joyce described the Catholic Church as here comes everybody. And that's how we approach the MAC. We want everyone to feel welcome. So we try to have a combination of gospel music and a soloist singing on the guitar and bringing some popular Spanish music there. We try to mix up the entertainment so that it reaches across the different cultures. But mostly we try to engage people so that all kinds of ethnicities and rural and urban settings, all kinds of richer and poorer parishes sit at the table and talk about the gifts that they bring, not just the challenge that diversity is, but the strength that it is for our church.
Those who attend, I imagine that the ultimate goal is for them to be able to do their jobs well enough and better so that more people will come to Mass and be active in the church and to be better evangelists.
Right. So they do their jobs well enough and better, but they're also fired up. And this is a time that, because our conference is unique and it's working with pastoral leaders, this is a chance for them to be ministered to. One of the things that we got a request for after the first year of MAC was to have the Sacrament of Reconciliation at the MAC. Now, these are all pastoral leaders coming. Why? Well, they get to go to confession to someone from another diocese. So they like that. Well enough and better, but they're ministered to, and that's a great part of the MAC.
So it helps the church to care for not only for others, but for itself.
Absolutely.
And the other strength, I think, is that we end up having parish staffs coming together. So it's not just like a catechetical conference where only the parish catechetical leader goes to, but the entire staffs are coming. So they're all getting energized. They're all hearing the message. They're sitting down and having lunch together during the Congress and sharing what they've had. So the real impetus for change and ministering differently is huge, because everyone has had that changing experience and listened to those new ideas.
So tell folks how they can learn more about the Mid-Atlantic Congress and hopefully to register for it.
Best way is to go on to the website, midatlanticcongress.org. And if they can go to that, that's great. If not, call our office at 410-547-5405. They'll get someone who's excited about the MAC answering the phone, and they'll walk them through everything.
And there's a link to that website also from the homepage of the Archdiocese, which is www.archbalt.org. Julie St. Croix, Ruth Poles from the Archdiocese of Baltimore, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
The season of sacraments is nearly here. First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and weddings. Visit the Baltimore Basilica, America's first cathedral, and stop by the gift shop for all of your gift needs. From beautiful frames to crucifixes and crosses, statues, and one-of-a-kind rosaries, the Basilica gift shop has it all. Friendly, knowledgeable staff members can help you select the perfect gift. Also available, Baltimore's very own Mouth Party Caramels, locally designed hand-painted signs and jewelry, plus gifts for Easter, as well as an extensive line of St. Patrick's Day items sure to bring out the Irish in everyone. Visit the Basilica Gift Shop at 409 Cathedral Street in Baltimore, or call 410-727-3565 for hours and directions. Free street parking available directly in front of the Basilica between 9:30 and 4 p.m.
Did Pope Francis really say that? If you get your news only from the mainstream media, some of the things you hear and read about our new Holy Father may seem shocking. Some news outlets cover only the most sensational things the Pope is saying or doing. If you want to read about what Pope Francis is saying in its full context, turn to the Catholic Review newspaper and on the web at catholicreview.org. The Catholic Review is your best source for up-to-date and in-depth news about the Pope, the Vatican, the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and your local parish too. In print, on the web, on your phone or mobile device, the Catholic Review has news, information, and commentary that goes wherever your faith takes you. Visit CatholicReview.org and find out what the Pope really said. CatholicReview.org.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.